Sandy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan. we had a little hitch there.
I almost said, I'm Jordan. Don't know what's going on in my head.
There we go. All right.
We're a couple dudes who like to sit around, drink novelty beverages.
And start off podcast professional as fuck.
Very smoothly.
We could just cut this out and redo the intro, but I will be goddamned if we do that now.
I fucking hate that you're calling me out after like a split second stutter. That's
I don't know. It threw my rhythm off. It's not you.
Yeah, it was a little. All right, fine.
I couldn't help myself.
I'm busted. We like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Yeah, the twist, though, is that you know everything about Alex Jones.
Pretty much.
And I don't know anything about Alex Jones.
There's another twist. You dropped one of the bottles of juice.
Yeah, well, I'm very tired, which is the whole point of getting this beverage.
Mm-hmm.
So tired that I dropped one. This is...
You know what? I'm tired, too, of excuses.
Fair enough.
Sick of the shit.
Fair enough. I forget the coconut juice, and now I forget this.
This is a terrible trend.
It is organic mama chia. Seed your soul.
It looks so gross.
Blackberry hibiscus, and it's a chia vitality beverage.
So it's got seeds suspended in it. It's colloidal.
It is disgusting looking.
It's a colloidal beverage.
I think I'm supposed to take this out dropper by dropper and put it underneath my tongue.
I agree.
Isn't that how that works?
I think so. It is vitality. It is colloidal. This is the Alex Jones beverage.
It is an excellent source of fiber. I'm going to take a sip of this.
Stop
this
reading
looks garbage.
The fucking thing and drink it. Oh, my God. I don't want to try this. Oh, no. It
tastes good, but your first instinct is to chew it.
To spit it out?
No, drink all these fucking seeds.
It seems to me like drinking yogurt. All right, here we go.
It's very thick. Just swallow it. Don't.
Not a chance. Not a chance. Fuck that noise.
It's not bad.
It doesn't taste bad, but I would never. Ooh, God.
Yeah, right? You have to get used to just swallowing a shit ton of seeds every time.
This is what it
feels like to be a woman.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It's like tiny boba
tea. That was
tea.
A really good joke.
No, it wasn't.
And
that's why I walked right over it.
Fine.
So, Jordan, today we are going to be going over the June 23rd, 2017 episode of the Alex Jones Show. We're back in the present.
Oh, boy.
It feels like a long time since we've been in the present.
It's been a while. Not much in the present has been going on.
No.
I feel like the news is very boring lately.
Well, I skipped last week of listening to him in the present because after the Megyn Kelly interview, I was like, I don't want to listen to him brag. I don't want to listen to him gloat for a week about, I have bested the mainstream media. And so I retreated to 2015.
Right.
I spent most of my time in my studies of 2015 as opposed to listening to him jack himself off on the air.
Right.
However, I was like, we got to check in, see what's going on. I checked in today, today as we're recording this on Tuesday, and David Knight was hosting, and Owen Schroyer.
Bummer.
And they were talking about the CNN video that James O'Keefe leaked.
I have not seen it. I'm assuming that if it's got a name like James O'Keefe behind it,
mm-hmm.
it's either a painting of a vagina flower or it is bullshit.
It is very edited, and it's a CNN segment producer, I believe, and he's saying that there isn't any evidence of Trump and Russia's collusion and that the higher-ups are pushing those stories because of ratings.
Okay.
And that sort of thing. And I mean, it's a James O'Keefe production.
Right.
You know this when he's involved. Project Veritas is involved. It's not true.
Yeah.
That is just a good through line. So Alex called in and talked about how James O'Keefe has just killed CNN.
Yeah. It's time to brag.
Alex is calling in to the show to say this, and I could hear tropical birds in the background. So I'm sure he is on a vacation. He's not calling a vacation.
Gotcha.
I went back to Monday.
It's a fact-finding mission to see exactly how tropical birds learn to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, it's God.
What if you yell globalist at a tropical bird? What happens? Empirical studies have shown they yell globalist
back.
Of
course.
Which proves.
Exactly.
So
who trained them to yell globalist first?
It's obviously Soros.
Exactly.
Big money. from Soros is going into tropical bird training.
They all go on vacation, sure. All the globalists together. Mm-hmm. And of course, the first thing that they say to like introduce each other
globalist.
Is like globalist. Yes, exactly.
You doff your cap. Yep. You say globalist.
Short bow if you're a Japanese globalist.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Respectful.
Of course.
See, what you do is, like if you go up to a bird and you say globalist and it says globalist back, no big deal. But if you go up,
I want to know.
If you go up to a bird and it says globalist first, that means you're close to one of their redoubts.
Okay.
One of their armored redoubts, because that bird will have already been taught the word globalist.
That makes the least amount of sense of anything I have ever heard in my entire life.
Well, I'm thinking of,
I love you,
I'm thinking of the Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath here. Okay. By H.P. Lovecraft.
All right.
It's a long way to go.
I was wondering if we were going to get an obscure Lovecraft reference today. You've also taken a couple of weeks off, quote an obscure H.P. Lovecraft.
Well, good to be back. So I went to Monday's episode to see what was going on there, see if Alex was there or if he's been gone. He was gone. It was Owen Schroyer hosting. So I went back to Sunday to try and find an episode for us to cover. Sunday, Owen Schroyer hosting. So I'm like, oh, Alex has been gone all weekend.
Right.
So I go back to Friday, and this is Friday, June 23rd, 2017, we're going to be covering. And what I discovered in the first hour of this show is lunacy.
Oh, boy.
It's really irresponsible and very dangerous and maybe not as funny as I want this to be.
Oh, come on.
But we'll try. There's some funniness in there.
All right.
But I listened to the whole thing, and, you know, he does an interview with a guy named Max Kaiser, who is another one of his faulty intellectual economic guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has his Gerald Salentes and Harry Dents,
okay.
And Peter's Schiff. These types who come in and tell everybody that shit's about to go bad.
Of course.
The real twist.
And by gold.
He's so boring that I didn't cut any of this interview. But it's a curveball from the buy gold. Because he is sort of saying gold's pretty cool.
Okay.
But this Max Kaiser guy, what he's also saying is, hey, get my cryptocurrency.
Ooh, now that's a good move right there.
He's trying to sell Max coins.
That can't be true.
Yeah, absolutely. I looked it up. He has his own cryptocurrency that's named after him.
Oh, can you? And so I didn't realize you could just do that.
Yeah, I guess you can.
Yeah, of course you can.
So
it's not regulated by anybody.
No, I think one Max coin is worth something like 20 cents now or something like that.
That's not terrible.
But it came up from like a tenth of a cent to now 20 cents. That's a huge swing.
That is a huge swing.
It is, mathematically, but be that as it may. It's irresponsible to sell gold on your show when you're fear-mongering about an economic collapse.
Usually.
It's very irresponsible to sell your own currency.
I know, but that's such a great move.
It's ballsy.
I love it. I love it.
I
look, go fucking big.
Yeah. Knowledge fight coins coming soon.
Yeah, can you just do that?
I don't know.
I think you can. Can't you?
I don't want to make my own economy.
Why not?
It seems like a lot of work.
Well, look, that way we become our own sovereign podcast. That's what we've always wanted. Once you can print digital money, you're good to go.
I just feel like it's more hassle than it's worth. And then if the market falls out of knowledge fight coins,
right.
We are responsible for screwing over so many people.
Well, it was a bad idea to make them only usable at Disneyland locations and
sure.
Not Disney World.
Well,
that was a rough
look.
I feel like we lost a lot of money on
that
trip.
It's states' rights. Disney World is globalist. Disneyland is sovereign.
It makes perfect sense.
Small, big. It's all that's fucking saying.
You have sold me.
So anyway, we're gonna get to this episode. I'm going to start as Alex starts. We'll just go exactly where he begins the episode.
This is going to be a fun thing whenever I choke to death on chia seeds.
Wow. Friday. Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Well, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Hard to believe it's already Friday, the 23rd day of June 2017, and all hell is breaking loose.
Again?
I want to stop there because he says that every day.
I was going to say, yeah, that's how this show works, right?
He says first of all, hell's breaking loose. He says a lot. But he says, it's hard to believe it's already blank day.
Oh!
He says that all the time. And I kind of think that's charming on a little, it's kind of like a little broadcaster trick. Just a nice, Hey, it's hard to believe all this time has passed.
Welcome. Hard to believe yet another day has come and gone and we are still alive.
It's folksy and I kind of like it. But yeah. Then the all hell is breaking loose. All right. You've switched.
All hell breaks loose all the time.
You switched very fast. Yeah, he's starting the show, but he wants to tell you about how the globalists, they're scared. They're scared right now and there's trouble in globalist land, which I'm going to start calling Disney World.
The Democrats have lost a fourth consecutive special election. They consecutively broke all previous records in each one of the four failed special elections since President Trump was sworn in on January 20th, 2017, the day the power began to transfer from Washington and from globalist combines offshore back to we the people. And he's been delivering in royal spades. And the globalists who've hijacked our country, hijacked Europe, hijacked Latin America, hijacked Africa, hijacked Eastern Europe, hijacked Russia, hijacked the Middle East, are in total, complete, absolute freakout mode.
Okay.
They burned through 35 million on the special elections, and that was just the party, not just their PACs.
How much did the Republicans burn through?
Unbelievable. And so how do they respond?
I bet it was
spoiled
more.
Brat, wannabe elitist, who are part of a cult of power, who believe that they're sitting on top of the bitter clingers and that they control, you know, the Christians and the patriots. And I guess they do. They have our children in their clutches. They brainwash them. They force inoculate them. But the sleeping giant is awakening to what they're doing, so they're trying to cling on to the host. The parasites are in a desperate, insane panic.
That is a run-on sentence.
Oh, absolutely. There's
That went so many different places. We're just going from, okay, the globalists are bummed because they lost four consecutive special elections,
mm-hmm.
all of which the Democrat far outperformed previous elections.
And far closer than they should have been.
Exactly.
With the exception of one of them, right? Wasn't one of them a bit...
Georgia was the Ossoff race was very much everybody kind of predicted a far better showing for Ossoff.
Yeah.
But you know, you gotta pick the southern lady who hates gay people.
Sure.
You gotta do it. Mm-hmm. She doesn't think they're real. Fine. Put her in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
trying to find statistics on how much the Republicans spent.
Oh, the Republicans spent so much more money.
Yeah, it's
Now the problem is they have so much more money.
Right.
Cause their best friends are billionaires.
Of course.
And Democrats' best friends are billionaires, but not as many of them.
And unions.
And unions are dying.
Yeah, it seems like they don't have a whole lot in their coffers.
No.
But thankfully there are a few billionaires, and
right.
they are globalists.
Yeah.
Turns out.
Soros.
Yeah.
So then, we go into, they're panicking.
Yep.
And.
But. They have our kids.
Yeah, how did we get to they have our kids?
Public schools.
why did he jump into that so fast?
I don't know. But that's their last chance, I guess.
To eat our kids?
I guess so.
To step on our kids.
Maybe. Brainwash them and shoot them up with stuff.
Brainwash them and shoot them up with that doesn't sound like a bad Sunday.
No. I mean, we're full of a lot of bullshit. You know, because
right out the gate,
because he's misleading
hot start
about all these special elections. He's obfuscating. He's not dealing with the fact that, like, if you look at the actual statistics on it, the Republicans should be worried about the turnout, and about the results. Even though they won, it does indicate bad things a coming.
Yeah.
Because all of those were heavy Republican leaning areas.
I swear to God, I have been sitting here. I want to have listened to the last part of what you said. But you said replicants instead of Republicans the first time?
No, I didn't.
You totally did.
No.
It was fantastic.
No, I didn't.
I could not be happier.
Oh my God.
You're gonna read back on the tape and you're gonna be like, holy shit, he said replicants. And that is my favorite thing.
And I'm not going to refer to myself as he.
We should, well, if you're saying replicants, how can you be sure?
I'm very confused now. I might be reading too much Philip K. Dick.
Oh man. That's what the Republicans are. They're replicants.
Fair enough.
They have no souls.
So, you might be thinking that Alex is high-minded. He's talking politics. He's talking taking our kids. That, this episode is gonna deal with a lot of meat. A lot of meat and potatoes issues.
Absolutely. He's going to get down into why the special elections were so close and how it's a really, it's actually kind of a good thing for the Republicans because they won all of them when you would expect if anti-Trump sentiment were this huge, which it seems to be, they would have lost.
You might think even that he's going to spin it as, you know, if you want to look at the truth, Republicans should have won majorly in all of them.
Yeah.
And instead they won pretty close. And that is going to light a fire under Republicans who had gotten complacent after the last election.
Of course.
Maybe he could spin it that way.
Oh, of course.
Nope.
Punch more reporters. You'll win more elections.
He does not deal with any of that. He's got something else on his mind that he wants to talk about.
Do they back off? No. Johnny Depp, a meth head, $600 million right. that he made the last
all
20
right,
years,
here we
lost
go.
It all.
Strap it
looks
in.
Like, again, some meth mouth guy, some kind of homeless person you see on the side of the street. He comes out like he's a big, tough man. He can hardly stand up with some other waterhead. And they stand up there and talk about how they dream about killing the president. Oh, how original by another spoiled, rotten piece of filth that if you don't like America, you should move to North Korea.
If you don't love it, get out. Classic.
There are more countries besides North Korea, right?
That's absolutely true. But Alex seems to think that-
also, if you're a global, if you're like a globe-hopping superstar Hollywood guy, you can go fucking anywhere, man.
Yeah, he probably has houses in multiple countries.
Yeah, of course.
I would say that, first of all, Alex thinks that all liberals love North Korea, and that's, you know, that's silly.
Okay, well.
But second, Johnny Depp came out and said some stuff.
Right.
Last week.
Like a Johnny Depp should.
And Alex might spend most of his show talking about
it. Oh, God.
He is furious. For those of you who don't know what Johnny Depp said, we'll play the clip a little bit later.
I don't know what Johnny Depp said.
We'll play the clip a little bit later because Alex plays it on the show. But the extent of it is he's saying that Donald Trump needs help. And he's responding to a question clearly in like a Q&A session. And he goes on to say, he prefaces it by saying, this is going to be in the press and it's going to be terrible.
All right. I like that.
But he says, I'm not saying anything, but when was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
That's not bad.
It's a joke.
That's not bad.
It's
not a good joke, but for Johnny Depp, that's not bad at all.
No, and then he goes on to say,
I mean, what with his meth mouth and his homeless look, and he comes out like a big tough guy, which is what you think of when you think Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm.
He goes on to say, I'm not an actor. I lie for a living. But you know what it is? He's taken on a lot of the traits of Hunter S. Thompson. He's using Hunter S. Thompson's sort of younger mannerisms. He's just acting like Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah.
That's all he's doing for a life now. Now that Hunter S. Thompson's dead, his spirit, for good or bad, seems to live in Johnny Depp.
Eh, you do one movie with him in it, and there you go.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to, like, try and get into that headspace to do Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, maybe I would go crazy, too.
Yeah.
And maybe that's not the point he went crazy. Maybe he was crazy long before it. Be that as it
probably.
May, that is Hunter S. Thompson-y. Like, it's a joke. It's a dark joke. But it is a joke that plays on the fact that an actor once did kill the president.
It's pretty good.
It's
for Johnny Depp. Like I said, it's not a good joke. Like, I'm not gonna, you know, take it with me to a club, but it's not terrible.
There's awareness within it. It's not like a threat or anything like that. He diffuses it by saying, I'm not an actor, you know, to insinuate. And he does say, I'm not saying anything. I'm not going to do this.
Right.
But Alex is furious about it. And
of course.
He takes it real hard, and we'll get to some of his reactions that I think are a little bit over the top.
You think so?
Yeah, but first, he gets to an article that Paul Joseph Watson has written, and he makes a very interesting offer to an unnamed woman.
Uh-oh.
Paul Watson has a video we're going to play coming up, the dumbest liberal ever.
Dumbest.
And the woman says she wants more Muslims. They're not a threat. She says white men are.
Yep.
Some addled, spoiled, pension fund, government funded, college paid for, scholarship, whining idiot. I am going to offer
none
this moron.
None of that stuff is bad.
First class tickets. First class tickets and £20,000 to move for 1 year to Libya or to Syria. I'm sorry, those are total war zones, thanks to you people helping put the radical jihadis in. How about Saudi Arabia? I'm offering you 20,000 pounds. That's $35,000, $30,000. And I'm offering you first class one-way tickets to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, baby.
You go come there, on. You run your mouth, fine
you show your
baby.
Face in public, they'll cane you, and next they'll kill you. The headline will be, Jones wishes Muslims to kill a poor woman. That's how they spin it when J-Lo is like, bring in more Muslims. Or, you know, any of these globalist minions. And I go, hey, why don't you go move there then? Oh no, we're not going to do that. And the media spins that I hope they go to the Middle East and get raped. No, I hope you don't bring that here because I've got three daughters and a son and I don't like it. I don't want to bring North Korea here. Hell, they're trying to transplant whole Syrian towns of invaders that came in and took over.
Invaders.
Into Germany right now. They've already brought 10 million in. I'm sorry, I kept seeing 5 million the last couple of years and 7 million total the last 8 years. No, it's 10 million. Everybody's heard about
Islamic
courage.
Oh, we took our brain force this morning. That's for sure.
I got to play the end there. You talked over... his horrible end to that that piece, that chunk that really needs to be heard. Hear this.
Years and 7 million total the last 8 years. No, it's 10 million. Everybody's heard about Islamic scourge.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That was the most offensive part of that whole
thing. That's why it needed to be played.
Yeah, that whole screed, that was very, very offensive to me.
So I've looked up the cost of living in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And $35,000 a year is probably pretty good. No, you can probably make it for a year on that.
Okay.
It's about, for a decent one-bedroom apartment, it's about $700 a month, you know. So, I mean, you know, that's comparable
that
to...
That seems pretty expensive, actually, for, you know...
I don't know. Chicago would be like $1,100 or something like that.
Yeah, I want to see one of these apartments.
Yeah, let's take them up on this offer.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, let's go. Does this apply to anyone?
I feel like it's actually safer there right now.
I would probably go.
Yeah. I don't think it's a terrible, I haven't seen the world.
Yeah, I'd like to travel, but also I actually probably wouldn't because I have my job and all and, you know, uprooting my life would be difficult, but presuming I was, you know, fancy free and careless, I would just be like, absolutely, I'll do that.
I just quit my job. Fuck yeah.
Well, but you have a, who cares? I like my job. But, that's weird. That's pretty weird.
Yeah. Well, also, why did he put it in pounds? Oh, was it a British lady?
I think it might have been a British lady.
Okay, that would make more sense.
I think he's referencing something that Paul Joseph Watson might have said in his article.
Oh, okay.
Because, so Alex is not going to get a taker on that, but he should stop offering people money. It's clearly he doesn't have $30,000 to throw around, I don't think, at this point. But you made a very astute observation that someone took his brain force. And I think he definitely did. And this clip, this next clip kind of confirms it a little.
Go to break, come back with Johnny Depp, all of it today. I am wound up and I'm in my InfoWars uniform today. I'm not wearing the sports jacket and the button up shirt because I need to be able to get wound up proper here today.
I got my balls on the table.
Wound up today, everybody. So get ready.
He just called himself Tuck Buckford.
Oh yeah.
He called himself the fake character that Stephen Colbert uses to make fun of him.
Yeah.
Because he really...
Reclaim it. That's a smart move. I'm on board with him doing that. I think that's a very smart move.
It would be, but recently Alex put out a video where he really... It was convoluted. What he did is he played a character named Tuck Buckford.
Now I'm against it.
Hold on. He had a wig on.
And right, now I'm back in.
He was a liberal guy who Alex Jones ripped off. Alex Jones ripped off the original Tuck Buckford character, personality or whatever. And then Stephen Colbert is ripping off Alex Jones. But there's a real Tuck Buckford who is a super liberal and very angry. And so he brings out a pinata of Trump and starts attacking it with a hatchet and screaming,
that is amazing.
It's convoluted as hell.
Wait, so.
I rarely encourage people to watch anything he's done, But because it's such a mystery, I do support people watching that.
Okay, so Tuck Buckford, Stephen Colbert character.
In the real world.
Based on Alex Jones.
Yes.
Alex Jones doing Tuck Buckford
mm-hmm.
as a liberal
uh-huh.
trying to murder the
Pinata.
Effigy of Trump.
Yes.
With a hatchet.
With a hatchet. Yeah.
I see no problems with understanding that at all.
It's
how could you have a problem there?
There's definitely an easier way to do that sketch.
That one's a little tortured, yes.
Yeah, it's a little
tortured.
It's Byzantine in its in its construction. I think he now I don't want to disparage his writer's room. But I think it's possible that not a lot of them are good at comedy.
Mm.
I think it's possible. Rob Dew, write me a sketch.
Tough to be a right-wing libertarian and still be funny. They
yeah.
do not get it.
Very, very tough.
Every time Paul Joseph Watson tries to be funny, it's the saddest thing in the
Yeesh.
World.
I agree. But at the same time, him just calling himself Tuck Buckford on the show right there is a little fucked up, but you're right. That is kind of reclaiming, like,
yeah.
old Tuck Buckford over here is going to
yeah,
kick
yeah,
your
exactly.
ass.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think you can make fun of me? I absorb your insults and only become stronger because of it.
Right, right. If he hadn't have made that video, I 100% agree.
Yeah,
but
that
he's
one
clearly furious about it.
Yeah, that one doesn't support that argument.
Not much. So we're going to get back after he gets back from that break where he's screaming about how I got to get wound up today. The next few things that we have to get through are like straight up rants.
Was it?
He's in rant mode today.
Was he like really going after the pinata, or was he just kind of?
Oh,
yeah. He was really going after.
Well, he goes at it with a with the hatchet, and then he starts tearing Trump's face off, like in a way that I interpret it as he's mad at Trump.
Right.
He's actually very mad at Trump for having to do the things that he's doing.
Yeah.
There is a level of like.
I think that's something getting out. Yeah.
He does. It seems very cathartic.
Yeah.
There's a textural analysis we could do of like, ooh, that's real. You're really mad at that pinata. This
yeah.
isn't a character.
Yeah, I know.
But it's also really dumb.
Either that or
he's
very
dumb.
Great actor.
Well, I mean, he's one of the best.
Has anybody considered putting him into a Hollywood film?
I think one guy did twice, and that's about it.
There we go.
So this next clip, he misleads more about those special elections, and then just really tries to wind up his audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday, the 23rd day of June 2017, and everybody knows I don't put a good face on things unless really good things are happening.
That's reasonably true. He puts a very negative face on things unnecessarily. Well, he's not too rosy about things unless, you know, things are kind of rosy.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time where he was like, hey, everybody, don't worry about a thing today.
Well,
we're all good.
He does a bit with Trump in terms of lying about how good his numbers are and stuff like that. But outside of that, he defaults to the negative.
Yeah.
You know, like globalists are overrunning us, you know, all this stuff. So, I mean, I'll give him that point, but...
And that is happening right now. The air is electrical with political change across the globe, not just here, but the United States. We've seen four special elections with the Democrats spending more money than they've ever spent in any other elections, and they lost despite the mainstream media demonization, the dirty tricks, the illegals voting, people voting with under dead people's identities. It's all been confirmed. 5.7 million
who?
Voting illegally.
Whom?
All of it confirmed now coming out in the last election, but still they lost despite the fake
the
polls,
Republican thing.
Despite giving the debate questions weeks before to Hillary to try to rig it, despite having the moderators go after Trump where it'd be 3-1. Trump called it out and said, it's 3-1, but still I'm winning. And it's that same attitude, ladies and gentlemen, that we've all got to have. Forget the Super Bowl, forget NBA basketball. This is the real game of life for the future of America and the world.
How about hockey?
Freedom versus slavery. This is such an amazing time to be alive. This is going to be a powerful transmission today.
He really thinks it will be. He mostly just talks about Johnny Depp. But the stuff in there that's like you got to really take away is his examples of Trump being like a man that we must emulate. Like he's brave and stuff is someone gave Hillary Clinton questions ahead of time, and some announcers were mean to him in a debate.
Yeah.
That's not...
Look at how brave he is.
That's not really that great.
I'm a big fan of how, boy, did they love winning that election.
Yeah. And so also that...
Not so much now. Mm-mm. When doing the thing. Mm. Didn't want to do the job.
Mm-mm.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
No.
It's really hard.
It's very hard.
It seems almost like he was completely and utterly unprepared for it.
And oblivious of what the responsibilities would be.
Of course.
So that 5.7 million illegals voting thing, if you really get into where that number comes from, it's actually really fascinating.
I was going to say, I remember the 3 million illegals voting being
right.
a dumb tweet.
Yeah.
How did it, which... was insane.
Which still hasn't, that guy on Twitter still hasn't backed that up.
Of course not. How did the number get higher?
Well, there was a study that was done by Old Dominion University, and they found in like 36,000 respondents to a survey that they did, 39 of them responded that they were illegal immigrants or undocumented immigrants who alleged to have voted. So... There's a couple pieces of this that are problematic.
That is, just a couple?
Well, follow-up interviews showed a bunch of people, I think there were 20 instances of people who in the initial survey said that they were citizens, and then in a follow-up interview said that they weren't, which is statistically impossible. There's no way that of the respondents, 20 people would lose their citizenship. So it indicates a lack of care in the people who... were filling out the surveys. It was like 100+ questions on the survey. So people speculate that the methodology of it was flawed and people weren't giving correct answers. So
I've never given 100 correct answers.
Never.
I've never paid attention to 100 questions in a row.
Nope. And, there's a couple other pieces of it. So with the 5.7 million is a high end estimate, 500,000 to 5.7 million that, people have speculated based on this 39 respondents from a 30,000 sample size. So they just multiply to the population at large, and that's what they find.
Right.
Which is a shoddy way to get statistics. But then further than that,
yeah.
I don't know what the, like, how they got these respondents, but I do know that a lot of people who do surveys end up doing them through these services that are available, like, through Amazon. They have a system called Turking. Where you can sign up as a user, and then they pay you like 30 cents to do a survey.
To like bounce your ass up and down.
No.
Kind of give you a little
No,
shake.
That's something else. That's something else. That's twerking.
Oh, shit.
This is close.
I'm too old. I'm not connected to the young people now.
A lot of universities, a lot of research centers have tons of responses that they need, and they pay people like a nickel or a dime to fill out surveys, do psychological tests, and transcription work on this Amazon portal that they have. I don't know for sure if this is what they use, but if it is, I've seen studies like it on this Turking site, mTurk. And I also know that people don't fill those out honestly because they're getting paid like 10 cents per survey, so they speed through them. They just fill out bubbles
yeah.
to get to the next one so they can try and make a living wage on it
mm-hmm.
or at least make a decent amount of money.
Right.
So it's entirely possible based on the anomalies that are found with the people reporting that they didn't, they lost their citizenship and stuff like that. It's entirely possible that a large section of the people responding to this survey weren't reading it. So that's entirely possible. But be that as it may, even if it is all sincere respondents, 39 people out of 30,000 is not a large enough sample size to be demographically interesting. And many, many professors have written letters about how this study is not something that should be cited. It doesn't pass muster in terms of statistical ethics.
Right.
So there's that.
How could that many illegal citizens or undocumented citizens possibly vote? That's 2% of the total, or what? It's 2.5-3% of the total population that
uh-huh.
voted?
Yeah.
So you got 5.7 million out of 200, it's more like 200 million, right?
Yep.
So that means that you've gone to the voting booth with an illegal citizen.
Many of them, probably.
Yeah. At your polling station, you were behind, like, raise your hand if you're an illegal citizen. And
well,
it's
not,
like
an illegal, not an illegal citizen.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Undocumented citizen.
They're not a citizen, though.
Yeah, but fuck it. Why not?
Yeah, who cares? I'm with
Give
you.
It to him.
I'm with you.
That's my immigration policy.
Fuck it.
Fucking get a job. Come on in.
Well, I mean, like what? Chicago is like 2 million people, 2.5 million people. So that's like 25 of the entire population of Chicago across the country voted illegally.
Yep.
That seems impossible.
It seems
it's
ridiculous.
It's ludicrous.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. So, Alex, I mean, he's lying about all this stuff. And further, those people, you know, like, if you're using this debunked statistic about the last general election to try and curry points with these special elections in tiny, like, areas.
Right.
Or, I mean, Atlanta's not a tiny area. But be that as it may, like, it doesn't work. You have no statistics to back this up. You're just talking shit.
It's a made-up number.
Right. But what's more important is Alex uses this stuff to try and really work his audience into a fever pitch. This is freedom versus slavery. This is the most important battle of all of our lives. And that's something important because that sort of ethos, that headspace, is where he lives right now, today.
Freedom versus slavery.
The current day.
Absolutes. Jedi versus Sith.
The current day of his show is not fun because he's legit at war. And like anybody listening to this who's crazy, I think they would.
They could really hurt people.
And it's not like he's saying anything illegal, but boy, is it irresponsible. And we're going to get to some of it. It's just. Listening to this bummed me out, especially after listening to 2015
right.
for a bit, because it's like, at least in 2015, he's an idiot, but he's
not trying to get people killed.
He's interesting idiot then. He's, oh no, idiot now.
Right.
So let's jump back into this. He wants to talk about some headlines, and then do a WWE style promo about the globalists.
Just look at these headlines. MSNBC's Brzezinski, Trump is developing a dictatorship, must be stopped. MSNBC analyst compares Trump to a suicide bomber. And, of course, another MSNBC host and analyst called for ISIS to hit Trump properties like Trump Tower. So everything.
So real quick, the lady who said that Trump is like a suicide bomber was saying that you shouldn't cuddle up to him because he's going to destroy you with him.
Yeah.
It was sort of a warning to GOP people that like, hey, this is a dangerous thing.
Right.
I wasn't saying he's literally a suicide
One
bomber.
One that everybody is aware of and nobody in the GOP is paying attention to.
Much like a lot of these bombers that we end up seeing. Oh, the intelligence agencies were following them.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, the other thing he's talking about is that MSNBC analysts said we should blow up Trump Tower. Again, that was Malcolm
Nance. That was that same one before where it's like, if I were a terrorist.
You're saying he predicted it. He nominated it as the first most likely candidate.
Yeah.
Actually, Malcolm Nance was just on Real Time with Bill Maher, and a Breitbart editor was on with him. And
oh, boy.
They were discussing the effect of fake news and stuff like this. And that story that Alex is talking about has been run on Breitbart. And so Malcolm was like, you know, something you posted on your site has caused death threats. I have gotten, and my family have gotten death threats because of something that you lied about on your site. And the guy was like, well, I'm going to have to look at that. I'm going to have to look. I don't
Fuck you.
Cowardly bullshit.
You pussy bitch.
I don't know the story you're talking about. I'm going to have to look into that. I don't know every story that goes up on the site. That sort of dodge.
How? But that's your gig.
I actually don't know what his full position was or anything like that. It wasn't like it was Bannon. But be that as it
Lackey,
may.
Lackey, Bannon, lapdog.
Yeah, but be that as it may, Alex is like on that same tip. He's on the same story. And for all we know, he might be the one who's responsible for Malcolm Nance's family being threatened.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not true. The story that he's telling is not true. And there's real world harm that comes from pitching those narratives.
Right.
So
now, admittedly, how do we know that it's not Malcolm Nance who is responsible for his family getting death threats?
That's a really good point.
Have you considered that Malcolm Nance is sending his family death threats?
False flag.
Either that or he genuinely hates his family. It could be that.
It's possible.
Could be that.
You know what? You got to look at this from all angles.
Maybe that's his fetish. Maybe that's his thing. It gets him all... Everything's more exciting whenever you feel like your wife could die at any moment.
Dear family. Shit. Cross that up.
It's written on his own letterhead.
Yeah, it's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. All these stories that he's saying are not really true. I mean, Mika Brzezinski did say that Trump is establishing a dictatorship, and I think a lot of people feel that way.
That's because that's what he's doing.
Signs are pointing that way. He mischaracterizes the bomber story, the suicide bomber story. He mischaracterizes Malcolm Nance's stance.
But even then, his mischaracterization of the suicide bomber story, I mean, he is like a suicide bomber. Like, I would stand by it even out of context if somebody was just like, Trump is like a suicide bomber. I'd be like, yeah, he's trying to destroy the entire country.
Yeah, and take himself down with it.
Exactly.
To get out of debt or blackmail, whatever, whatever bad situation he's in, he doesn't give a shit. 70 fucking years old. He's done everything he needs to do. Anyway.
They say about Trump, they are. They're trying to overthrow the election and set up a dictatorship of the bureaucracy and the deep state. Connecticut campus shut as professor flees following let them effing die tweet directing students to begin killing right-wingers and Trump supporters and all bigots saying smile a bit as you kill them.
Oh boy.
So this story.
Whoa, Nelly.
A story is about a professor from Trinity University who wrote a blog post called Let Them Fucking Die. And the blog post, if you read it, is about how there are a lot of, I mean, it's basically the rant you did when we talked about Steve Scalise. but it's basically, there are people.
Yeah, Dan. Yeah.
Well.
I got Trinity behind me now.
This blog post was a little more eloquent.
Fuck you.
You were on the fly. It's fine.
If I was going to write something down, I'm sure it would be,
I agree.
Actually, it would probably just be a transcript of the same shit that I said.
Ah! The blog, as it's written, is about how there are a lot of people who are oppressing people by race, by gender, what have you, is particularly focused on racial oppression.
Yeah.
And the argument that he's laying out isn't really an argument so much as it is a point that he wants to make, and that is that you will not get any brownie points from bigots for saving their lives.
Oh, fuck no.
You will not. You are being foolish if you, let's say, run into a burning building to save a bigot's life. If you're a doctor and you save a bigot's life, we live in this fantasy in our heads that like, oh, I hated black people and then I was saved by a black person and, you know, like some sort of a Hallmark movie, all of my bigotry goes away.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that generally in the real world. And his argument is that we're coming to a crisis point and you, if you are in a disenfranchised class, should never put yourself at risk to help someone who hates you.
There are black doctors in hospitals who have been specifically pointed out by people and said, I don't want that doctor to help me.
Absolutely.
There have been people who have.
And they hide behind bullshit like he's an affirmative action hire.
No. That's complete and utter bigotry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you should give out a questionnaire like, do you want a black doctor? But I'm saying that we should fill emergency rooms with black doctors and they should just let white people die.
Well, I mean,
I'm totally fine with that.
At least bigoted white people. I don't know. The argument that he's making.
You can tell from the stomach lining.
Okay. The argument that is laid out in that blog is not like actively go murder people.
No.
It's just don't exert any effort to save people's lives.
As I said, fuck Scalise. Mm-hmm. Don't give a shit.
Again, reiterate your position. You're not happy that he got shot, but now
I wish we lived in a world where he could not have been shot.
Yeah.
I wish that were possible.
Yeah.
Since he has helped architect a world that has led to him getting shot, I think the world is a better place without him in it.
Yeah.
So fuck him.
And as you murder them, more and more campuses are just totally having to shut because of mass total mental illness. Unbelievable. These are re-education camps, but they've been contained. They're designed to be culture bombs. They're designed to be social disruptor systems. That's all declassified.
Like that.
But if you contain them, if you contain the weapon system and it can't replicate, it degrades and implodes on itself. And they're going through a degrade implosion right now. We're having devastating victories. Devastating. We're devastating the enemy worldwide. They may set off a nuke in D.C. They may release a bioweapon.
Wait, what?
Soros and the globalists are very wicked. Do not underestimate them. But even if that happens, the survivors will dig them out of their bunkers. We will dig you out of your bunkers, no matter where you go, globalists, even if you release the bioweapon. We're fully aware of your plans. Continuing, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
That is insanity.
Wait, what?
That's insanity. That's nuts. He's already said that we're against the globalists.
Is he selling shovels now? He's selling shovels now, right?
He might be selling survival
shovels.
We're
going to dig you out of the bunkers. Buy my new Alex Jones branded shovel.
Now, this is one of the best bunkers.
It's actually a 50-gauge shovel.
Yeah. It's made only with deep earth steel.
Yeah, we don't use none of these 9mm shovels. They're too weak.
Yeah. I mean, look.
What's the stopping power of a 9mm shovel? Nothing.
Alex has never really experienced what college is, so I discount his opinion quite a bit. The situation with this professor at Trinity, he made a statement, and people are pretty mad about it. And
I wonder what people are mad about it.
The situation at Evergreen, happened a little bit ago, like within the last month. That day of absence situation.
Yep.
I think that's a little bit more nuanced than the people are really giving it credit. I think that there's arguments on both sides. The professor did not have the obligation to leave at all.
Right.
But I think he's being a fucking asshole for not considering.
Yeah, my stance on that has wavered and then changed to fucking come on, dude.
Yeah. Sure, the administration of that school is acting a little bit weird. But also, I don't really care. I think he should have left campus.
Hey, professor, fucking come on, dude.
You don't have the right to not have actions that are dickish that you do not make you a shitheel. Like, you are kind of an asshole and you should be treated like it, even if you make a principled stance against something that isn't hurting anybody.
Nope.
And the reality is,
and it's just a fucking day off. Just fucking take it.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. Labor rights.
The reality too is that those schools have had to be closed because of bomb threats and murder threats that are made by white supremacists.
Yeah, they're getting devastating victories.
Yeah. So I mean,
those quite literally are devastating victories for them. I will give them that.
College is a culture bomb only in the sense that when you go to it, you're exposed to things you would not be exposed to otherwise, and it challenges your growth. Those are the things that happen on most college campuses. It's not liberal indoctrination or anything like that. That's a load of horse shit.
I think the best liberal indoctrination is, of course, meeting people.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah.
Meeting people who disagree with you.
Yeah.
Instead of living in a homogenous small town.
If you meet people on a global scale, you start to have a global worldview.
Ah, then it is a re-education.
Globalism. Camp. Yeah, absolutely. Go. So, I mean, the reality of all this is, you know, more nuanced, maybe slightly controversial things that people are saying that aren't strictly speaking racist or, I would never call the professor at Evergreen racist for his actions. Like I said, I just think he's kind of an asshole.
Yeah, he's a dick.
It's kind of an asshole move. But I, the reaction is decidedly racist. Like,
yeah.
All of the threats that have made these schools close down are not because crazy students.
Oh, you don't know. It's these liberals.
Yeah.
It's these liberal kids. They don't even fucking know anymore. They're re-educated, but they're finally waking up to the patriots, and so they're finally getting out of it. And the way that they express their newfound patriotism is by threatening to murder lots of people.
Well, you know what I've come to think about, too? I've come to realize that on a certain level, every generation is kind of like a new operating system. We have to reboot a little bit humanity. And so maybe it's not strictly speaking every generation, but every now and again, there is like a cultural upgrade to our system that happens.
Right.
And one of them was sort of racial understanding. Another one was homosexual lifestyle understanding. Another one is trans understanding. And it's not always as cut and dry as those things. But I think that we reboot a little bit, and we have to integrate our worldviews.
Right.
And that is a process that a lot of people are resistant to, because they're like, no, I love Nintendo, the original. I don't want Super Nintendo. Or bad example.
Right.
But there are.
Because everybody wanted Super Nintendo. It's so much better.
Sundials are arguably very reliable, but watches are great too. There are people who hold on to, like, no, I don't want to be taken away from the old operating system that I'm very comfortable with and have to learn new ways to be accepting and understand the more robust view of humanity.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
So, but the problem.
Well, I've occasionally had that response, or actually I've had that response multiple times where I had to actually stop and think through it before I said something dumb. Yeah.
It's part of the system upgrade is resistance to a certain extent, but you have to grow through that.
Well, I used to use the word tranny.
Sure.
I think
a lot of us did.
Yeah, to me that was fine. And it was, and then the first time that somebody was like, we don't say that anymore,
mm-hmm.
I was like, come on, fucking let me say, and then I thought about it and read about it, and it's like, oh yeah, why would I fucking say that? What kind of asshole would say that?
Right, and that's the
upgrade.
And
to me it was fine.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a part of the upgrade. That's a new program that you're running that is a superior program.
Right.
It's better. It doesn't hurt people, and it's just, but some people are like five upgrades back and they still throw the N-word around.
Yeah.
But be that as it may, like, the thing is, college students are kind of like, they have a beta version of the upgrade. I don't mean beta like beta alpha. I mean like it's a little glitchy. They run the program, but their hardware isn't right for running it. And so often they end up being really bad ambassadors of a good thing.
Yeah.
And so you have these college students who can come out and often they end up getting on TV and they say crazy dumb shit where what they mean is right, but what they're saying is really unpolished and bad for television.
Yeah.
So people like Alex, who's resistant to cultural upgrades to an nth degree, sees these college kids saying dumbass shit, that I defend the spirit of, but not the letter of.
Right.
And he's like, oh, look at them. They all want to kill all white people and blah, blah, blah. And he's just making fun of the, like, it's like someone playing an early release of a video game and being like, oh, this is glitchy. Not realizing that the polished version of it is an incredible game.
I am not entirely certain whether or not that was an amazing metaphor or a tortured metaphor that you really ran through the ringer on.
I don't know either.
Either you hit the nail on the head with that metaphor, and it extended throughout. Mm. Like, you went through the whole thing, you got from start to finish on it,
yeah.
And you even applied it to a separate situation. Or that was fucking endless, and we all got it. We all got it instantly, where you were like, oh, their software's old, ours is new. We all figured it out immediately, and you were like, I bet I can milk this for another 10 minutes.
Well, the point I really wanted to get to was the idea of the college students being a glitchy version of a good program.
Right.
And I think that it's really easy to make fun of kids for not being adults. And that's unfair, to a certain degree. Look, I don't know if that was great or terrible, but we'll find out. We'll find out when people hear this. Tweet at me if I'm an idiot. So, someone who is an idiot is Alex. Like I said, most of this episode deals with Johnny Depp, and
how can he spend this much fucking? It was a mediocre at best joke.
Well, here comes a rant.
But let me put the cherry on top before I get to this key report that Darren McBrain put together. Johnny Depp is a drug addict meth head that looks like a child molester you'd see on the side of the road, okay?
A lot of people look like child molesters, just looks like one.
Johnny Depp is a talentless joke trying to act cool. Hey, Stevie Ray Vaughan could play the guitar great and had that style in the 80s. He was cool. You look like just a joke stumbling around. $600 million you made. Right. You lost it all. You've got some other old geezer, liberal, wannabe trendy. I mean, I used to not like Hollywood. I can't look at it. I can't listen to it. I can hardly put up with any of it anymore. It is just so anti-human, so elitist, so drugged out, so brainwashed, so filthy rich, while it's bitching about Trump trying to cut taxes for the middle class and trying to get jobs back for factory workers.
That's what people are bitching about.
It's just sick. And I saw it this morning and couldn't find good audio of it because he's mumbling so bad. And then he just sits there like he's such a genius when he says he dreams of killing Trump, of assassinating Trump, like he's the greatest genius ever. And then you see a bunch of just moronic, mind-numbed, zombie-looking twit fans, when he says it, just hold on every word like God had just said something. No, a meth head, loser, joke, punk jumped on the whole bandwagon of other harpies and sea hags like Madonna and everybody else saying, kill, 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 kill Trump, kill his supporters, kill America, kill Christians, kill flyover country, bring in the radical Muslims, have women wear hijabs. We're allied with anything that hates Christendom and hates Western civilization and hates freedom. But here's the good news. All over Africa, all over Latin America, people are rejecting globalism. And they're rejecting it here. People want prosperity. They want freedom. They want families. They want true diversity. They want true open societies. But not bullying brainwash facilities we see everywhere. So Johnny Depp is such a pathetic. I'm not just saying that. You know it. Just a doddering, drugged out with meth mouth. He can barely talk. Looked like Carrie Fisher. Feel sorry for her. You know, she was a drug addict, admittedly, but at least she wasn't a hateful person politically. Depp is this
drugged out. Oh, fuck you. You do not know Princess Leia. She was so hateful,
looks like
dude.
Like a child molester.
Holy shit.
Again, driving around in a creeper van. And he's up there dreaming of, can actors kill presidents? Or have, but I'm not an actor, making a little joke, trying to invoke murder and death. Hey, Johnny Depp, can somebody find out where you're at sometime and walk up and pump a bunch of bullets into your sorry ass? Because I don't want that to happen. I don't walk around in people's yards trying to find dog crap to step in. But you know, if dogs keep laying it down in front of us, we're going to step on some of you by accident, you jerk. I mean, you think you're playing games here, boy? You and you Hollywood scum, bunch of wannabe gangsters, you've taken America's kindness and openness to crap all over it. And that time's coming to an end. So to you and all the Hollywood gangsters and all of you, and I know who you are by name, you better watch your ass, because we're going to kick your ass politically, just like 1776. You keep running your mouth and starting a violent war that you're beating the drums for. You know what's going to happen to you. Let's play Johnny Slimeball Depp.
I think he needs help. And, I don't know. A lot of wonderful dark places he could go. A lot of Doc Martens in the, it's just a question. I'm not insinuating anything. By the way, this is going to be in the press. It'll be horrible.
It'd be horrible.
But I like that you're all a part of it. When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
When was the last time somebody killed an actor for running their mouth? I mean, seriously.
Now, I want to clarify. I'm not an actor. I lie for a living.
That's right, you do, you piece of filth. All right, turn him off.
Thanks, Alex.
So,
Alex? How do you really feel about it?
Yeah, I think I think he's.
I think you've already established.
I think he's established. He's a piece of filth. Look, I think Johnny Depp is spiritually ripping off Hunter S. Thompson to an extent I'm not comfortable with. But at the end of the day, HST is dead, so we need another one.
Got to get somebody out.
Yeah,
there.
So let him be it.
But I was trying to keep up with all of the insults.
Meth.
One, I don't understand why he thinks Johnny doesn't do meth.
He might have at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure he does a lot of coke.
Sure.
Who doesn't?
Meth is too cheap.
It's pedestrian. Why would you do? Yeah. Also, I mean, if you're going by that, speed of speech, definitely not doing meth or coke recently.
No, and that's not drugs. That's an intentional cadence that he puts on. That's the Dr. Gonzo style.
Right.
It's a version of cool to him. And I get what if Alex wanted to say, you're putting on an affectation, you're not this cool or whatever.
Right.
Then okay, we got a good argument.
But you can't get to child molester after. That's kind of an affectation, bro.
But also, you look like a child molester. Stevie Ray Vaughan could pull that off in the 80s.
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know.
What the fuck was that?
I'm
he needs
sure.
to know more about Carrie Fisher, because he would not feel sorry for her.
She was not hateful politically.
Oh, man. Oh, you do not fucking know Carrie Fisher.
That was him just trying to backpedal a little bit,
because
he's like, oh, she's dead. Oops.
Yeah. But he will be the first to be like, I love Johnny Depp in Nightmare on Elm Street. I thought he was great
in
that. That was a breakout role for him.
He was great in 21 Jump Street.
Yeah. Let's face it. The first Pirates movie wasn't that bad. He did a great job. It was
Epic.
A star turn. It
Epic.
Was a star turn.
Mm-hmm.
I loved him.
Right.
Sure, he said some things that I don't agree with, but he's dead. We got to respect his work.
Fine.
Yeah.
The other thing that I'm most offended by in there is Alex is... He uses such safe speech, but he's threatening Johnny Depp's life.
Absolutely.
There's no way else to hear that other than I want someone to kill Johnny
Depp.
Yeah,
when's the last time an actor got killed for running his mouth?
Well, there's that.
And he's implying that he hopes it sooner.
Well, and then also the someone could find out where you are and pump a bunch of bullets in you. I don't want that to happen.
No.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Alex is irresponsible because he does not recognize how crazy his fans are. Like, he knows, and he doesn't apply the requisite caution. If he
applied the caution, then he wouldn't have the fans.
Right, but that's irresponsible to humanity. Like,
well, yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, this has been Knowledge
You
Fight.
Just explained the whole show.
Yeah, I guess I did.
Alex Jones is bad for humanity.
Yep. And, this next rant.
I wish if there's one thing that I think should be restricted in his free speech rules is he's not allowed to say the word kindness.
No.
In his situation, he has said multiple times, oh, they shat on, or not shat, he wouldn't use the grammatical. They screw up and they take advantage of America's openness and kindness.
They
and
took
like,
a piss.
Do you not understand that that is our openness and our kindness?
Yeah.
Exactly what we're talking about.
And
it's not something
And the
that
thing
is,
that he's attacking is
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Yeah.
He, like, the only way you should be able to say the word kindness is if he first says, fuck people who are kind. I hope they die.
We must abolish kindness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Openness? Does anybody want less openness than Alex Jones does?
No, I can't imagine a person.
Like, restrict our borders. We want sovereignty. We want all this bullshit. Like, all he's advocating for is close off the United States.
Except as it relates to guns.
Oh, well, yeah.
Then.
And of course, he wants true diversity.
Right.
Which just means white.
Well.
It just means white. If you have to put the word true behind diversity, that means white. Do you know what you could say?
Yeah.
I want diversity, which means I want all kinds of people here.
Yeah.
True diversity is like, you know what I mean. The good diversity.
Speaking of true diversity, look out, because on our next episode, where we're doing our investigation, spoiler alert, Alex Jones does get David Duke on the show.
Fuck!
And he talks to him for 2 hours.
Fuck!
Yeah. That's going to be a whole episode.
Jesus yeah. Christ.
So look forward to that.
Thanks, Dan.
Alex Jones interviewing former KKK Grand Dragon and wild anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist David Duke.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I look forward to that. Also look forward to this next rant. Alex ramps up some violent rhetoric a little more.
But if you look at all of this, I mean, these people are on every channel there is, beating the drum incessantly to kill Trump, kill his family,
not
kidnap
HGTV.
His wife, rape her.
It's on Property
and
Brothers.
And Bow Wow had the sense to come out and apologize. And Snoop Dogg
would be a great
has had
house
decency to shut
Trump.
His mouth. Because here's the deal. You got your free speech, but you keep calling for killing people, and Trump supporters are getting shot and stabbed all over the place.
Congressman
got shot. Was fighting for his life until just 2 days ago. Has had a bunch of surgeries. And you people are so evil. You go out and demonstrate and boo and hiss when people call for his recovery.
Yeah, I do.
That's who you are. And you're running your mouths. You live in the lap of luxury. You run around acting tough and cool all day.
I want to say, like, I don't know what, I don't know what calling for someone's recovery is going to do. I don't know how much that's going to help. This isn't like a Tinkerbell situation. Also, I don't know how negative booing calls for someone's recovery is. That seems very arbitrary.
Yeah. Also, I mean, if you're booing somebody's calls for recovery, it's like, well, neither of us are helping anybody out.
It's a push.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I call for this man to heal.
Right.
Great.
Here's the thing that I just now, realized that phrase, running your mouth,
mm-hmm.
always suggests violence is the solution to it.
Yeah, somewhat.
He's running
to
his
him.
Mouth. No, period. Like, that's what he's running his mouth kind of suggests. So punch him. Close his mouth.
Yeah.
That's, you know, if you say something like, oh, he's talking out of school or something along those
talking
lines,
trash.
You're like, yeah, that's just good nature rabbit. Running your mouth is always violent.
I don't know if it has
I'm
the same
sick
connotation.
Of you running your mouth.
I don't know if it has the same connotation to me, but I feel like it's, I think it's in the realm of like talking shit. This might just be you.
This could just be me.
And it's because Alex says it
listen,
a lot.
Listen, Dan, you're starting to run your mouth on me a little
oh,
bit.
Oh, shit.
And you have no idea, no idea, no idea. That goes for David Brock and all the rest of these people. About we're aware of their operations. We're aware of their productions. We're aware of all the different things they're up to. And now the doctors, the scientists, the engineers, the surgeons have got their scalpels and their sutures and their instruments out, and they're just deciding right now over the patient how much has to get cut out and can the patient even live. But I will assure you, in that process of that delicate surgery, that you're going to get everything your evil little butts ever wanted. And I take no pleasure in that. I think it's pretty clear you're going to start a civil war. In fact, I think it's clear we've eased into one. And that's how a lot of wars and a lot of civil wars start, is you never really have a demarcation line.
Ease.
You don't have a shot heard around the world like we had in 1775. Ease. You just kind of slip into the lawlessness. And you guys are sowing the wind.
It's kind
and
of
you know what happens then.
War.
You sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. And most of you can hardly talk. You can hardly walk. It's like I was watching this morning. I saw a clip of The Wall, the music video from Pink Floyd, and it shows the kids going into the school normal, and they come out as little zombies.
Yeah.
And they're just fed into a meat grinder.
Yeah, they were talking about
so first they dehumanize you, then they feed you into a meat grinder. And that's exactly how all of this works. And so you're now calling it a civil war. You're saying you want an insurrection. You're saying you want to hunt Trump supporters. You're saying you want to bomb
things.
They
are delicious. You're
saying Trump's a dictator.
Yeah.
But you got your elite publications calling for his overthrow and how they're going to have new elections run by Obama's old Homeland Security.
We'll get back to the rant in a second, but the
I don't understand that one. The new elections run by Obama's old Homeland Security.
This is one of the big fears that Alex Jones has, that Obama's national security people are going to run a new election. And it's only based on the fact that Obama was aware of Russian meddling in the election and the lead up to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that he tried to do before he left office was make our elections a piece of federally protected infrastructure.
Right.
That was something that he tried to push through. And Alex Jones has interpreted that as they're going to federalize the election and it's going to be bedlam and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I would say automatic voter registry and a federal election is probably the best way to go. Get rid of the Electoral College and just make it a populist vote.
That's probably not a terrible idea. We don't have time to unpack it here, but I just wanted to point that
out.
No,
I think it's time for us to really get into the weeds on this one right here.
All right, let's do
it. Election policy, go!
And now you're going to take our guns, and you're going to shut the press off once and for all, and you're going to start with Alex Jones. Good luck.
Who said they were going to
really
start with
good
you?
Luck with all of that, fools. The minute you try to actually
Canada,
shut us
sure.
down completely, you take us from powerful to incredibly powerful. You turn us into martyrs. You take us to the next level. You can't win, to quote episode 4 of Star Wars. You strike us down. We become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. That's history. That's art imitating life, not life imitating art.
What?
That's the truth. We have the upper hand as long as we're moral, as long as we're focused, as long as we have courage, and as long as we don't back down to you people, you're going to lose. It's not like Korea, where you set up a dictatorship where people never had freedom for thousands of years, and we're a hermitage controlled vice system of China under vassal control. It's not like you're coming out of the Orthodox Christian and then the czars and the some of the oppressions in Russia into something even worse.
Oh, yeah, get that music on.
The whole world's coming out of globalism. The Renaissance is spreading. And this is only the birth pains of that. But that Renaissance is humanity getting its feet on the ground before we face the AI and the Antichrist. So all this stuff you see is just testing.
That's a real fucked up way to end
that. Wait, so... All right. Well, one.
Yeah.
I can't even deal with Hollywood. Everything is movie references.
Everything.
Everything is movie references.
Or music video in this case.
I don't know if he's ever had anything that wasn't a movie reference to, you know.
Predictive programming, yeah. Baby.
But here's the thing that's really surprising to me about the Renaissance is spreading narrative. Mm-hmm. Cause I haven't heard that one. Like, he's occasionally talked about how, you know, France and, you know, with Le Pen and then Brexit. He's talked about how that stuff is good. But I don't understand why he's saying that it's happening worldwide now, other than if he's supporting.
That's what he's talking about. He's talking about, like, Brexit and Le Pen and.
He's bringing up Korea and he's bringing up Africa and Central America places.
No, in that instance, he's talking about how you can't take away freedom in America because we had it. And you're trying to oppress us, as opposed to in Korea, where they never had it. It's much easier to keep them in this oppressive state. In North Korea, he was not specific enough. But the Renaissance is going worldwide. Is references to Le Pen, Brexit,
right?
He wouldn't say Russia, but he does say Russia sometimes. It's like, oh, they kicked out the oligarchs. They're just trying to kick out the globalists.
Yeah,
that's why everyone hates Russia, because they're stripping themselves from globalist influence.
I can't imagine an interpretation of the world that believes Russia has kicked out any oligarchs.
Well,
maybe they've kicked
out Alex's.
Maybe they've kicked out the old oligarchs and replaced them with the new ones. But yeah, oligarchs are that's Russia.
But that's Alex's version of the new Renaissance, is these countries he deems as having kicked out the oligarchs.
Why does,
or kicked out the globalists, does it work?
So why do you, or why would you,
fought
if you
back
are,
against globalists?
Like, why would you, but then we have to really get into how his definition of globalist works.
We can't do that.
Because how can you be like, look at these other countries, they're doing things right, and yet at the same time say, we don't need to worry about any other countries, it's all about America. Like, mm-hmm. You can't do both. So if you're spreading this like Renaissance narrative going worldwide, then what you're talking about is just the growing nationalist resurgence.
Right.
Which is, I don't understand why you think that's a good idea.
Well, it's wanting it both ways. It's like, I want every country to be like their own version of America first. And we want every country to be harshly nationalistic and xenophobic and close their borders and stuff like that, not realizing that the end result of that is everyone fighting each other.
Everyone! Yeah. All the time!
Yeah, it will turn things back to, like, city-states.
Like, does he...
Like, parts of countries will secede.
Yeah.
You will just have a complete destruction of any kind of international cooperation, which is... I mean, that would be a positive goal for him. But... He conveniently leaves off the part where everyone's interests will butt into each other in ways that we do not have, at that point, any way to negotiate.
Yeah.
We won't have the international bodies like the UN or the EU that can negotiate and resolve issues before they turn into, you know, all-out war.
War.
Yeah.
War.
War is the...
Do you remember how Europe was always at war for forever?
War is the inevitable result of his everyone should be harshly nationalistic. And it's the same way.
And I think he's right when he says civil war is the end result of that kind of harsh nationalism, at least in the United States.
It's the same way that most libertarian shit is kind of stupid in terms of like, the outcome that you want isn't the outcome that's going to come. You know, like just in the case of like deregulation that conservatives and libertarians want so badly. They think that it'll, like, boost the economy and everybody will live in a much better place. But all you're going to end up doing is empowering people who already have power.
Yeah.
All of the businesses will be able to run roughshod over our interests. And we'll never get to this happy fantasy land that's on the other end.
I can't think of any historical time period wherein regulation was at an all-time low. I can think of one. It was the 20s.
Not a lot of regulation back then.
Do you
then.
Remember when children were working? You know what? I want to bring back those coal mine children jobs. Well, I think that's our big issue.
But
there.
But you.
And do you know what Kellyanne Conway said about the healthcare bill?
Get a job.
Get a job. 30 million kids are going to get kicked off Medicaid. What are we going to do with them? Put them in the workforce.
And the elderly.
We don't want them to go into schools. Schools are just re-education camps.
No.
Do you know where we want them going?
Where?
work camps.
That's not a terrible idea.
That's not a,
get
how
things
else?
Moving.
Yeah, yeah. How else do you,
and then
do
we,
you grow?
We take all these old people who are just fucking sucking off the government teat at nursing homes with dementia and stuff. Hey, why don't you work at the nursing home?
Have you considered that? That's not a terrible idea.
You old asshole, pick up a mop.
That's not a terrible idea.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the thing about Alex, I believe, is that I don't know what causes this, and I don't know what the underlying thing is, but I don't think he's thought through the reality of the things that he's espousing. Like, the idea of free market sounds good, because it's free.
Freedom?
Right.
Market. I like both of those things.
But the steps that you take to get there and the steps that he seems to encourage are all things that will have disastrous consequences.
Well, the problem with saying
and
free market...
nationalism is the same thing.
The problem with saying free market is that you don't realize how much work goes into keeping it free.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the idea
it's
of...
It's not a natural state.
No!
No.
No! The natural state is very, very unfree.
It's abusive.
Yeah. It's awful.
Yeah. It's very powerful people crushing people who have no power.
Like, that's kind of the thing that you get into with just understanding language, is that to me, the idea of a free market is everyone having, an opportunity to kind of compete.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that's a good idea.
Equal access.
Absolutely. Like, net neutrality. To me, nothing embodies the free market more than net neutrality.
Sure.
Everyone is capable of using the internet.
Mm-hmm.
At an equal rate. At an equal level.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you deregulate that, and then you can charge for fast lanes, you do not have a free market. You have a closed off market.
Yeah,
one where only people who are already rich enough to participate in it can do so at this level. And it makes it damn near impossible to move from that lower tiered lane into the higher one.
Yep. And those are concrete short term examples of the hellscape that exists on the way to a hypothetical nirvana that Alex espouses. In the same way that every country being nationalistic, I don't even know if there is like a fantasy land that's at the end of that, but in the interim, it's just war.
I think there is a fantasy land.
What? Feudalism?
No.
Oh.
Humans being eradicated from the earth entirely, and it's allowed to grow.
Which is what Alex is against.
And new life forms are allowed to evolve.
Alex thinks that's what globalists want. He's against that.
I'm starting to be for it.
Well, you're a globalist. Anyway, so Alex,
I am a globalist in the sense that I prefer the globe to what's on it.
I like globes. Yeah. In that last clip, Alex said that we're probably eased into a civil war, but there's no shot that was heard around the world. There's no demarcation line.
Oh, I think there is a pretty loud one.
In this next
the
clip,
election of Trump.
In this next clip, Alex has a different demarcation line.
Oh, okay.
That's all coming up, and I'm going to play this powerful piece that deals with how they're trying to start a civil war and how we're already entered one. Mark your calendars. With Congressman Scalise getting shot a week and a half ago. In fact, what date was that, please, folks? Look that up for me. Because I was really thinking about this morning and last night. That's when the civil war went from a cold civil war, a culture war, a bullying war, a leftist temper tantrum, stabbing, shooting, killing, burning a few people, to targeting Congress.
What
and then
all
the media, Wolf Blitzer and others, and Democrat operatives saying, hunt Republicans, too bad this wasn't more coordinated. This is when they fully bought into it. Because you can go back, you know, 3 years ago, 2 years ago.
What about all the hate
for rioting, Newsweek. You can find all those articles. But now it's official. They've decided they're going to put their boots on. They're going to load up their firearms, their clips, and they're going to march out and start killing people.
What about the militarized
police?
All
I'm going to say is what Colonel Jackson said, don't fire until you see the whites of their eyes. Quite frankly, we can just hold and keep letting them kill us. I'm sorry for those of you who get killed. And
Jesus.
Don't respond offensively. We're winning the info war with us right now. In fact, if I was a globalist, I would have already staged some false flags. They just know law enforcement and others are pretty much on our side and are watching every move. So it's hard for the globalists to run false flags now.
Convenient.
So Scalise was shot June 14th. I'd say that's the shot heard around the world. I mean, you could argue we were already in a civil war before that, and they're calling for violence and killing the president and his family and every major publication and for overthrowing the government and arresting me, and we're all Russian agents, anybody that stands up for America. You're Russian agents. Yeah, right. They're the globalist agents,
wow.
And they know it. But June 14th,
That's when the Civil War started, June 14th. So in that clip, Alex is literally saying that a hot civil war has started, and it wasn't us that started it. And then he's further saying, we could wait and let them shoot us. Now, he doesn't say or.
And he's very clearly defined why it is we don't want assault weapons available.
I think it's a great case.
We can't, they used to say fire until you see the whites of their eyes, suggesting you should know who it is that you are attacking.
Sure.
But instead, we're just going to hold down the trigger and mow people down. Brrr. And I'm sorry for those of you who get killed.
No,
weren't participating in it.
You're mischaracterizing that.
Oh.
He, in that, was saying, we could, as patriots, his side, we could wait until they kill us, and I'm sorry about those of you who will end up getting killed. But what he conveniently doesn't do is give the other side of that disjunction, the other side of that or statement. He doesn't get to that. And the other side of that is implicitly or
preemptive attack.
We can get offensive.
Yep.
And if you are someone who's prone to listening to him and
like a white nationalist,
you have no other way to hear that than that implied other side.
It's time
because
to start
what he's
killing.
Describing is very negative. We can wait until they come and kill us. And I'm sorry about those of you who are going to die. That's a really negative one. The implied other side, maybe some of our guys don't have to die. This is really fucking irresponsible.
That's so close to openly advocating people start killing.
1,000%.
It's close enough to warrant, like, at the very least an investigation.
I would say it's close enough for jazz, as they say. I don't think Alex wouldn't like that expression.
No, I think he would think you were running your mouth.
Probably. Run your mouth, fill your hand. That should be on a shirt.
That is good.
That's an Alex
That's
Jones
good stuff.
Shirt.
Yeah, yeah. God damn it. Why are we doing his job better than him?
I don't know. I'd buy that shirt.
I would buy that shirt. What a great shirt.
Yeah. And then just the entire.
I mean, I wouldn't fucking wear it because that's a terrible shirt.
Run your mouth, fill your hand on the front. And then on the back, just a transcription of the rant he had about Adam Schiff. That would be great. So in this next clip, Alex,
either that or the four ways to learn. I think I would put the four ways to learn on the back of that shirt.
There's four ways to learn. Reading?
That's not in there.
Providence?
There we go.
Anyway.
Genetic race memory. That's one of the ways to learn. Everybody knows that one.
Yeah.
That's how you learn.
Yeah. So in this next clip, Alex explains that a lot of his understandings about authoritarianism.
Oh boy, I'm guessing he does not understand it at all.
And then it slips into, he might get back to Johnny Depp.
I would almost guarantee he gets back to Johnny Depp.
He might.
The Twilight Zone that is authoritarianism, the wicked altar that so many have worshipped throughout history, it always behaves the same, it always acts the same. It's not based on creativity or open society and freedom, it's based on tyranny and oppression and death. And now that very system is here masquerading as liberalism, masquerading as the arts, masquerading when it's a weapon system. Johnny Depp from Kentucky.
Aha.
Posing like he's British in every major movie he's in with a fake accent in England.
He's an actor.
Running down our president and hoping he dies.
This Benedict Cumberbatch asshole.
And if somebody kills Johnny Depp, which I hope doesn't happen, or one of these other Hollywood turds, the media won't ever point out that they called for violence. Or Wolf Blitzer has a guest on, says, oh, I knew the guy that did this. He wasn't evil. He was just upset about politics. He was a nice guy. Wolf Blitzer took it like it was a statement he agreed with.
That's how Wolf Blitzer takes everything.
Well, yeah.
Wolf Blitzer is the most useless man in the history of the world.
Very boring. But he again threatens Johnny Depp implicitly with the, you know.
What if somebody killed him? I'm not hoping somebody does.
But if they did, they would never say he called for violence.
Yeah.
I don't know if he did. He made a joke.
That's the OJ school of calling for violence.
But
what if I did kill Nicole Brown Simpson? Right. I hope nobody kills her.
Dear Lord, this is a bad
bit.
He's just on stage like sweating. So the other thing is he's talking about Wolf Blitzer interviewing a guy who knew the guy who shot Steve Scalise. And the guy said that he was just fed up with politics and he was a good guy. And Alex can be mad about that all he wants, but that's really basically what happens with any interview with someone who knew a serial killer. If you watch any documentary about serial killers, generally they're like, I never would have predicted this from him.
He was a really quiet guy. He kind of mostly stuck to himself. Every interaction I've had with, he was always really nice.
Very
polite.
At
the grocery store, we always used to talk. He would say, how's the weather? And I'd say, it's good. And that would be the end of our interaction. And probably a serial killer.
And if Alex wants to like complain about like, how do these people not know their friends better? That's a valid complaint. But if he wants to complain about Wolf Blitzer not being like, hey, you fucking asshole, you know you're lying to the guy, I don't think that's his place. I don't think that's Wolf Blitzer's job. I don't think he's broadcasting propaganda by interviewing a guy about his potentially limited perspective on the shooter. But that's nonsense. And
also, that'd be a weird, weird thing if you just heard Wolf Blitzer go like, nah, you knew he was a murderer, didn't you?
Tell me.
Yeah, come on. You knew he was a murderer.
Come on. You got blitzed.
There we go. Why are we doing Wolf Blitzer's job better than him now?
Someone get us funding. So the other thing, too, though, is he's talking about, like, hey, you know, if someone goes ahead and murders Johnny Depp or these other Hollywood people, these turds in Hollywood, or Wolf Blitzer. He's throwing Wolf Blitzer even in with that, like, people who should be murdered camp.
Yeah.
And rhetorically, it's very dangerous. The type of stuff he's saying is incredibly dangerous. But he's not done.
And all over the news, from the Washington Post, the New York Times, to the Huffington Post, they're out there hoping the president dies and saying, you know, too bad. This was so uncoordinated. And he didn't know how to use the firearm properly. Too bad he can only, you know, shoot two cops and almost kill them and almost kill the congressman and almost kill another person. You know, too bad. Johnny Depp. What a drugged out, fried brain.
I mean, that's debatable.
Idiot. Let's run that clip one more time of somebody that wants to run his
one
mouth.
More time. And just
because the word's gone out. Call for violence. Call for violence. Start the civil war. Start the civil war. If there's a real hot civil war, which we're sliding into, bro, we're already
Alex
in one. We're sliding down. I will
one
assure you, you're going to be held responsible, and your publicist and others that have pushed you to do this.
Publicist?
Yeah.
You're trying to organize,
you know,
massive
always say,
bloodshed
call for the murder
and
of the
killing
president.
And crimes, and you're using your platform to do it, and you will be held accountable.
That's projection.
How will you be held accountable?
Well, that's projection of guilt. He's saying that you're using your massive platform to call for violence, and you will be held responsible.
Nah, I can't think
There's
of
There's a
anything.
Small part of him that's got to be worried about, like, I'm probably going to go down for some of this. Like, because we've seen it in the past. We've seen repeated instances of his listeners doing the things he says they should do.
Yeah.
The guy who broke into Bohemian Grove heavily armed to kill people was motivated by Alex Jones. That lady last month or 2 months ago who was sending death threats to the Sandy Hook parents was motivated by Alex Jones. Literally, she said it. The guy who showed up at Comet Ping Pong with a gun, motivated by Alex Jones. That's not 100% his fault. In the sense that I don't think he necessarily should be arrested for those things.
Right.
But the fact that he's so flippant and disregards the effect that he has on mentally ill people means, like, oh, you're just going to keep pushing it until something really, really bad happens. Like,
yeah, I'm surprised more people haven't been out and out murdered.
Imagine a scenario where that guy who had the gun at Comet Ping Pong, he very easily could have accidentally killed somebody. Yeah. I don't think he showed up there to kill people, but he could have accidentally killed somebody. In that case, how does the conversation go differently? If something had happened with that lady and the Sandy Hook families, if she had shown up at one of their houses or something like that, how is the story different? It's only different based on how far the crazy person took it. They took it way too far, just not to the extent where now there's deaths.
Well, it'd be interesting to see. I would say if we start going around to the recent hate crimes being committed and just started asking around, like, you guys listen to Alex Jones?
Bro?
I wouldn't be surprised if there were some yeses.
Well, I mean, I don't know how solid the reporting on this, but from what I've been able to find, Tamerlan Tsarnaev, one of the Boston Bombers, was a big InfoWars fan, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I mean, and I know Alex's argument that he would make at any of these is, oh, this is how the media portrays me as a crazy person.
Of course.
They do these false flags, and then they associate their patsy with InfoWars in order to turn the public against me premeditatively. And that's, okay, great. Good argument. Counter argument. you inspire crazy people to do very bad things.
That's a good argument, too.
Yeah, because you paint all of your enemies as pedophiles.
Child molesters?
You paint them as murderers who want to kill everybody.
Yep.
You use a book you don't understand aborting to say that they're poisoning the water.
Aborting all the black children.
So fucking insane.
Everybody is the most evil.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing to me that you can't just criticize Johnny Depp without bringing in... He's a child molester.
Well, he looks like
or
one.
Or he looks like a child
molester. He's probably got a creeper van.
Yeah, just like, hey, you don't like what he said. You don't think he's a very good actor. We can debate that.
Right.
I saw the revamped Willy Wonka. I know what's up.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't need to call him a child molester.
No, and if someone were to, like, just strictly attack Alex's physique or whatever, he would be like, why you gotta descend to ad hominem?
Exactly.
It's fucking bullshit.
He would whine so hard if somebody was like, look at this motherfucking brain force mouth motherfucker.
Yeah.
He would be like, no, that's not how I'd be. You're attacking my appearance.
Yeah. Would you believe, Jordan, that this next clip has more to do with Johnny Depp?
Of course.
And then the news says, oh, Jones, he made a guy that had been his listener go in there and do it. Alex told him to go be violent, which I never said. But
he's talking about the guy who showed up at Comet Ping Pong.
Yeah.
So we actually, you know.
So we are getting a slice of that argument as to why it's not his fault or why he has no real influence.
Right, and he's going to lie about what he said about Pizzagate. I would recommend everyone to go find that clip that we have played in the past where he says people should go check it out.
Yeah.
And he posted erroneous false information on his website about the Comet Ping Pong. He claims that he didn't, and he's just absolutely lying. But he's going...
Well, and even then, if you just say go check it out, you've established that it is a den of pedophiles, traffickers, murderers, the worst human beings available.
Right.
So if you're saying go check it out, what's implied there is if you check it out unarmed, you might get...
You're probably going to die.
Exactly.
I mean, even in that video Jack Posobiec posted of himself going to Comet Ping Pong, now he's probably kind of drunk or high in that video.
Yeah.
But he and his friend were even talking about being kind of scared.
Yeah.
About what they could find going to a family eatery.
Yeah.
It's nonsense, but you're totally right. The implied thing there is you might die, so be careful.
Yeah.
He's not encouraging someone to show up with a notepad and ask some hard-hitting questions.
I mean, but that seems like it would be a better use of people's time.
Right. I mean, I've seen videos of people who went with cameras to Comet Ping Pong, and James Alefantis himself went outside and talked to them, answered questions. He took one of them inside and showed him all around. He was like, oh, yeah, back here, here's the kitchen. Just took him around. He's like, yeah, what do you want to know?
Yeah.
You know, I think this is nonsense, but if you guys need to be out there protesting, you want a coffee? He's just super nice to them. And
listen, I don't normally do this. You guys want a slice?
Yeah.
We don't sell them by the slice here, but listen, you guys seem nice. Nice gets you a slice.
Slice has baby pieces in it. No, I mean, it's all nonsense.
That would be the best little, like, just, okay, go ahead and turn the camera off. It's all true. It's all true. Oh my God, it's all true. They've got me locked up in the back there. Turn the camera back on. You guys want some coffee?
Yeah, that would be pretty fun.
That'd be great.
So here's Alex lying about that shit.
See, I'm guilty of some guy going and supposedly shooting a hole in the roof that witnesses that were there that I interviewed said they didn't hear a gunshot, they didn't see it happen. But the D.C. police, the same ones that, you know, let crowds of folks attack Trump supporters at the inauguration, and the D.C. police involved in all the stuff we've seen, they say it happened. And then a guy who was an actor on an already felony plea deal in another state comes and this happens at the pizza place, and it's all my fault. Almost a month after I said drop the story, it's a decoy, before the press ever targeted me and ever said I was the author of it.
So no one ever said he was necessarily the author of it. They said he pushed it.
Yeah.
No one ever said he was guilty of the guy showing up there. People just talked about how he was influenced by Alex.
Right.
And it's really shameful now that his new spin is it probably didn't even happen. And if it did, that guy was a patsy who had a other conviction, and the cops got him to go do that to smear me.
Yeah.
It's very narcissistic.
Oh, yeah.
The moving parts required for that to be true are insane. The moving parts required for the real version of the story, that a crazy person came and looked around with a gun because he had listened to Alex be very awful on the air about the comic ping pong. No moving parts.
One of the things that
crazy guy
for a like just to be sure, just to be clear, we talk about a massive conspiracy theorist, and we try and keep the phrase Occam's razor out of it, because sure. Then what's the goddamn point?
Yeah,
right. If we don't engage,
that's no fun.
If we just go in with Occam's razor, man, we're here going like, nah, that doesn't make sense. There's too much shit going on. How about it's just one dude?
Yeah.
Well, I'm really frustrated by his characterization of the police now, because it's always 100% support the police.
Uh-huh.
Most of them are patriots. They're all on our side. Then it's these DC police making everything up just to smear me. And then you've got the last episode when it's police can sometimes be drug dealers and thugs in their own right. And I don't like these guys. And there's always this like implied, you need to know that there are good cops and bad cops, but you don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the good cops probably shoot black people in his world.
Yeah.
Like it's very much something where you would think that he'd try to have some kind of through line,
mm-hmm.
some kind of baseline for how you should treat cops.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't.
No.
He's lumping in the DC police with the Pizzagate people.
He doesn't have like a through line of what makes one good, what makes one bad. It's very, you know, just catch as catch can.
Yeah.
Whatever the circumstances
are. Well, he does have a through line.
Whatever.
Did you do what I agreed with?
Does it serve my narrative?
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, here we go.
But I figured out they were going to do it, and that what was being reported by the press wasn't accurate. We pulled back on it, so we become the authors of it. We become who's behind it. We become the devil that wants violence when we're the ones saying never be violent offensively. Treat the Second Amendment with great respect as you do the First. We're not the ones running around saying kill everybody. We're not the ones saying bomb Trump Tower.
No,
like MSNBC is.
No.
We're not the ones saying he's a suicide bomber at the same time. We're not the ones saying Trump's a dictator. We're not the ones saying kill, 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 kill this person, kill that person. But what's Johnny Depp going to do if somebody who isn't an actor like him, somebody who doesn't just talk, kills him? They're going to turn it into how the horrible right wing did this and that. They're eliciting their fans getting killed, their minions, their zombies, that they're out there on these huge platforms saying, do the right thing. Go kill Trump or kill his supporters. Hey, white boy, get ready to be shanked. You're wearing a Trump hat. It's political intimidation, and it's not working for them. So what are they going to do next?
What are they going to do? We'll find out in the next clip. But
did you just tease the next clip?
I did.
Oh, man.
But
are we going to do a last time before we introduce the next clip?
Last clip.
Last time,
Alex,
on the previous clip.
Alex said, what are they going to do? So the thing there is we get a real glimpse into how Alex Jones thinks the world operates. And it's kind of fascinating. But, well, I mean, let's just deal with first. He, again, is threatening Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Because he said someone who's not an actor, someone who doesn't just talk. These are positive.
Also, you just talk, you fucking idiot.
Right, but those are positive attributes in the sort of world of macho Alex Jones.
Right.
And so
somebody who works a site.
Implicitly, what he's saying is some real man comes along, he's going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good. That's very irresponsible. Again, people are going to hear that coded language. But beyond that, he seems to think that the globalists want a civil war. And so they're putting out these messages that no one else is really picking up on except for him.
Right.
And that is the jump off. Let's jump off. Let's do this. Let's provoke the patriots into attacking us
mm-hmm.
and create a civil war. When he's the only person I really think that is experiencing those things, probably because of brain damage.
Right.
It's very dangerous.
I'm having trouble with his language because I feel like it's part of doing this podcast. So, and listening to so much Alex Jones,
mm-hmm.
it's hard not to talk in the language of violence now.
Okay.
Like I'm struggling to do it there. He's saying like minions kill Trump and all of these things and everything is violence. Every metaphor is violent. Everything that he's talking about is always the threat of violence
yeah.
or the implied threat of violence.
Totally.
And I mean, all I can think of when he says, like, they're starting a civil war and all this shit is that kind of lizard reaction of, like, yeah, we are starting a civil war and we're going to get violent.
Well,
like,
that's not good.
No, it's getting into my fucking brain,
well,
Dan.
Because my
Dan, what if you've radicalized me?
Well,
did you consider that option?
That's unintentional.
Yeah. No, you're just as bad as Alex Jones if I go to that pizza place.
But I don't think you will unless you want a slice.
No, I mean.
Well, they don't sell by the slice.
If I protest, they will.
My reaction is I hear him doing all this, like, they're trying to start a civil war. They're promoting violence. And all I hear is, you are trying to do that.
Yeah.
Not you, Alex.
No.
That's all I get. I get, like, projection. I get, cause I look into the stories that he cites and I look into his sources and all of them don't accurately depict his representation of it. So I know that either he's unaware of the nuanced reality of stuff or he's intentionally twisting it to serve his purposes. And either way, what he's doing is feeding into, separation. He's feeding into radicalization, balkanization, the thing he's super afraid of. He's making his followers so much further from the rest of the general population. And the end result of that, much like extreme nationalism, is just war. It's just going to be eventually. And this rhetoric can't get ramped down. This sort of thing isn't something that he can de-escalate on his own, really. There has to be something that is a payoff to this. In the same way that in 2015, all of the economic collapse talk, the payoff, the blow off of the feud, as they say in wrestling, is Ted Anderson selling people gold. That's to prep you for that. Now, hopefully, all of this rhetoric is just leading to a sales pitch.
Right.
Hopefully, down the line, it just leads to that. Because the only other logical blow off is
actual violence.
He's hoping that something happens and he's just waiting for some tragedy to happen. And then he can spin his, well, if it's a minority, I can say that they're attacking us.
Right.
And if it's a white person, I can say it's a false flag.
Yep.
He's just waiting for something to happen to validate his rhetoric.
Yeah.
And it's really fucking, it's a bummer.
And the way he's talking, too, is in the same way that he can't de-escalate on his own. If he escalates it, even a slight bit from here,
yeah,
he's out and out calling for civil war.
He's reached essentially his ceiling.
Yeah.
In terms of
any higher than this and we're in crime territory.
Yeah, because he's already obliquely threatening people, like specifically threatening people.
And not far away from the, that dude's threatening to kill me.
In the context of, like, we're in a hot civil war, it started on June 14th. They're coming at us. Some of us are going to die if we don't, get offensive. All of this stuff taken as a whole is like, we know what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Time to start merc.
Mm-hmm.
Mercing people.
So, he,
This is really scary stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I find this to be.
I almost don't want to play the rest of the clips. There's not really anything else
other than
fits this theme, but he complains about Joe Scarborough a little bit.
All right, well, that sounds fun.
Yeah, maybe that'll take the edge off.
Let's play some Joe Scarborough hate.
All right.
I don't like Joe Scarborough.
They're going to get more hysterical, and they're going to push more and more, and almost all of them, like Mika Brzezinski and everybody, have never gotten their feet wet. They've never gotten their hands dirty. Now, Scarborough, a little bit different there. He's got his little hands dirty a couple times. He's a good old boy right there. Little pumpkin head. It's like Mars Attacks. You know, aliens wearing a wig because the head's really so big. It's really a gray alien from Mars. I think Scarborough might be one. I'm joking, but he does have like a Martian head. I mean, good God, imagine if he shaved that thing. He's got a Martian head. But getting back to the famous mass murderer's daughter.
Yeah, let's get
Brzezinski,
back to that.
She's saying, Mika is saying, that he's developing a dictatorship. No, we're removing the face-sucking cancer We're removing you. So you sit there in your ivory tower with all your billions of dollars daddy got, and you sit up there just imagining you're in some existential war with the horrible coal miners and the horrible ranchers and the horrible policemen and the horrible air traffic controllers and the horrible mechanics and the horrible soldiers. And you just imagine how you're the hyper elite. You're the intellectual. You go to the white tie and black tie events. You perch up on top of us and you're going to teach us culture and you're going to make our children grow up the way you want our kids to grow up. You're going to run our lives. Let me tell you.
So just to take a quick break there. I like the Joe Scarborough's an alien. No, he's not. He's not. I'm just joking around. What he was talking about there, in case
well,
you don't.
How did he? Yeah, how did he get his hands dirty? Why did
you
he
don't
get
know
all,
about that?
How did he get all pervy on us?
Well, there was an intern of Joe Scarborough's that was found dead in his office when he was a senator.
Or
he
no
was a,
shit.
He was a representative. He was in the House, I believe. He was in Congress. I don't remember. I don't care because I don't like Joe Scarborough.
He's a pile of garbage.
But yeah, on July 20th, 2001, one of Scarborough's aides died after hitting her head on a desk when she fainted while alone in Scarborough's Florida office.
Oh, that's obviously a cover-up.
According to Scarborough, soon after the death, allegations spread all over the internet that he'd been involved. There was an investigation and no evidence of foul play.
And what date did you say this was?
2001. It was right before 9/11. It
so,
was a,
wait, July?
Yeah, it was a Gary Condit situation.
So we're a month and a half before 9/11.
Yeah.
I think that obviously means Scarborough helped plan it.
Well, I mean, him and...
She got into the, like, she pepper-potsed her way into,
okay.
What's his evil face's name?
Mm-hmm.
Stole those documents, but Scarborough found her first, dropped her head into
El
the
Kabong.
Desk. Boom. Done.
Well,
El Kabong, he lifted up the desk and hit her.
Like. Yeah. There's no evidence of foul play, like I said. Although, I mean, it's pretty...
With those DC cops?
Well, that's a good point.
See, there we go. It's a setup.
It's a pretty fucked up situation. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. The life of that rumor on the internet is far greater than the facts merit. But it's the same thing with, I mean, Gary Condit.
It's Vince Foster.
Gary Condit probably did kill Chandra Levy. Wait, no, he didn't. Didn't someone confess?
Didn't.
I think someone confessed.
Did he?
I don't remember.
Didn't he?
See, but that's the thing with those things that happened right before 9/11.
Right.
It's like everything got, like everyone was talking about Gary Condit.
Right.
And then 9/11, we're done with that.
Yeah, I mean, the only good thing to come out of 9/11 was like the blueprint and, Is This It? Fever to Tell. That was a great album too. All released on 9/11.
Okay. I'm trying to look up Gary Condit.
Oh, and of course, the Iraq War. That was a great thing that came out of 9/11, too.
Solid thing.
Forgot about that.
Anyway, back to the clip. He's going to get to economics a little bit.
Something just like Starbucks called for the Islamic invaders to all be given jobs and tries to turn their thing into political correctness situation to sit there and re-educate everybody when they come to Starbucks. They have been precipitously, their stock dropping, their purchases dropping, their revenue dropping, something like 25%. It's still going down. They're in total panic mode, removing executives, and none of it's right in the ship. Starbucks pissed on too many people. And there was no official boycott ever launched. Everyone just said, you know what? I'm going to go out of my way not to drink Starbucks. I'm going to ask at a hotel. And if the coffee is Starbucks, I'm not going to drink it at breakfast.
No one has ever.
I will not. I go
ever,
to hotels now,
ever,
and if they've got Starbucks,
ever done.
I don't even have coffee. Or I'm asking now, when I book a hotel, do you have Starbucks?
You do.
And most of them do. And I go, I'm not booking with your hotel.
Fuck
Click.
You.
And you know that it's put in a computer.
What?
It's war. They need us, not the other way around. They hate you. They hate your family.
Starbucks hates your family.
This is a freedom fries situation.
Yeah,
this is the whole thing
quite
all
a
over
bit.
Again.
And it's all just because.
How about the stars and stripes bucks, Dan? How about those?
It's all just because Starbucks said they were going to hire refugees.
Yeah. Well, they said they were. Didn't you not read the press release?
What?
Starbucks. We will give jobs to all Islamic invaders.
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 Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You know those Islamic invaders.
Yeah, and everyone's like...
I would actually play a video game called Islamic Invaders.
All that shit, like, oh, they're going to give jobs to refugees. Why don't they give jobs to vets? Like, flashback 8 months earlier.
Yeah.
They had a big program hiring vets.
Yeah.
Suck it. And yeah, you're totally right. Alex is completely lying about calling hotels.
Well, what? Why would you even pretend to lie about that? Well, because, that's the dumbest fuck thing I've ever
heard. Because you need to present integrity to your dumbass audience or else they're not going to go along with your bullshit.
That's just insane, though.
It's a bit insane.
Even if you are against Starbucks and you're, if you're an Alex Jones listener and they're like, I hate how Starbucks is hiring Muslims. At best, you're going to be like, oh, is there a Dunkin' Donuts across the street? Let's just go there.
Yeah.
If Starbucks is your only option, fucker, you gotta get that caffeine, man.
And get one of those double smoked bacon on a croissant.
Not bad.
Delicious.
Better than a McBreakfast.
Sure.
McBreakfast.
McFlapcakes.
Yeah.
I'm done. I got one more clip, but I don't even want to play it. It's pointless.
Oh no.
It's just a dumb sales pitch. I'm not even gonna play it.
Oh, Dan.
I'm not playing it out of protest. I don't want to hear his voice anymore.
that's actually a pretty, that's a pretty solid reason.
2017 Alex Jones is just, he's not what I want. He's not good. It's really scary. We're going to keep monitoring him and what have you, but, boy.
I think
2015 is such a better time. So many ways.
Yeah, I was going to say. When you said I retreated into 2015, I was like, oh, buddy, you are way late.
Yeah.
I have been living there for a good long while now.
Yeah, it's...
This has turned very unentertaining.
Yeah.
Like, this is no fun to listen to, and it's just very much like...
This speaks...
Fight! Kill! Die! Fight! Kill! Die! Like, that's all he's saying.
Yeah, and he's... You know, never citing anything, just saying that everyone's trying to kill the president.
Yeah.
That's not accurate at all.
Nobody. Like, if you're going to pull any kind of bullshit like that, just look at the fact that all of the news networks turned their TVs off in the press room.
Yeah.
There's no law that can compel them to do that.
And all of his.
And you can just turn them back the fuck on.
And all of his specific examples about people who are calling for it are all bizarrely celebrities, and they didn't say what he says.
No.
So, like, it.
Well, it has to be celebrities, because it follows up on the Hollywood elites.
Right, right. There's that.
Yeah.
But it all just
feels...
Which
is like, fucking, is anybody more unemployed than actors? I get that at the top, you know, it's very top-heavy as far as money goes. But, like, working actors generally are unemployed.
But hoping to get a commercial.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like...
Fuck, I'm hoping to get a commercial.
The feeling that I have here is... If I had to put a bow on this, the feeling that I get is that we're watching the beginning of something that is about to get out of hand. Like, I don't think necessarily that a civil war is coming. I don't think necessarily armed insurrection is coming. But I do think that the rhetoric that Alex is throwing around is probably going to get to a point where he can't control it anymore. He's going to radicalize his audience in a way that they... take on a life beyond him.
Oh, of course.
And he's already experienced that in his career. Like, he's responsible for a lot of people going down the conspiracy path, realizing, and I say realizing in like a quote-unquote way,
right.
That Israel is the problem, and then turning on Alex because they think he's a Zionist chill.
Right.
He already has radicalized tons of people to out-and-out white supremacy because of that. Like, because of his actions and because of the rhetoric that he uses on his show... He has had people like go beyond him.
Right.
And now if people are listening to this and they've had the lead up of the last 6 months of they're going to kill the president. They're trying to kill him. We're under attack from all sides.
Always. Every day we are always under attack. Always be on high alert. Always be as alert. Like
the only outcome that can really come up from it is him losing control of his audience again. And in a much worse way than
all
just people going to Stormfront and hanging out.
The only thing that I genuinely think, like, I would say his reach would extend as far as, like, another, like, militia group. Like, what were the fucks that occupied a national park for some dumb reason?
You're talking about, like, Clive and Bundy's people?
Yeah, those fucks.
Amon Bundy?
Yeah, those are the guys that I see really doing some dumb shit.
What?
And those are the guys that I see as a as a real threat.
Well, the Oath Keepers are a pretty big group. There are a lot of folks like that. And, I mean, you see it every time that there's, one of these marches. There's always counter protests to everything. And, I mean, it's, I think that our society does have a lot of problems that we need to address. And some of them are liberal problems. Some of them are conservative problems. And level-headed people could take a look at all of them and hopefully come to a conclusion that works for everybody. But with this sort of shit flying around, it's impossible.
Yeah.
And I hope for the best, but I see things getting worse.
And I am definitely not preparing for it.
Nope.
Because I refuse to buy a gun.
Or Alex Jones's products.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, again...
Well, what if the only way...
That's the other angle that we're being remiss in a little bit. Is what if he is just a con man and he doesn't have an agenda and really this is just about selling shit?
How do you call for this much violence without having an actual agenda?
It seems
like I think 2015 Alex that we saw was huckster Alex.
Yeah, it does feel a lot more like that then.
This sounds like straight up he's bought his own bullshit Alex.
Well, I think in 2015 he was huckster with a philosophy. Like, the globalists are still there, but it's mostly in service of selling shit.
Yeah.
And now, yeah, it is,
like, and he's barely even veiling it in globalist talk anymore. Like, he is.
That's not fair. I mean, if you're going just based on this episode that we've gone over.
Right.
Possibly, but no, he's still talking about the globalists all the time. As someone who listens to all of it, he's still.
I just feel like so far the actual targets of his ire, the more specific ones, are anybody who believes in anything liberal ever.
Well, that's because they're globalists.
Yeah, but is that,
liberalism is authoritarianism in disguise. Liberalism is just bullshit that tries to get us to socialism, which will lead to communism, which will lead to authoritarianism. That is his worldview. So yes, every liberal value is one creeping step closer to this communist nightmare that he thinks we will head towards. So yeah, it is still globalist, even if he hates everything liberal.
Right, right, right. But I see what you're saying there.
But it's bullshit.
Of course it is.
It's bullshit. A lot of that's based on the protocols of the Elders of Zion. So woohoo!
Jesus.
Anyway, this has been a bummer, but if you want more,
hey guys, don't be bigots.
Yeah, please.
Please just for us.
Yeah, that's a great thing to do. Also a great thing to do is go to our website, knowledgefight.com.
You could also follow us on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight.
That's correct. We're also on Facebook. If you'd like to come, say hi. Also, if you want to send us an email, knowledgefight@gmail.com.
Look us up on iTunes. Download that. Send it around, leave a review.
And if you'd like to donate to the show, you can do that. There's a button on the website. We would appreciate it.
I would like it if you had just, like, stopped right there. If you want to donate to the show, you can do it.
You can.
You figure it the fuck out how, but you can.
If you want to donate to the show, good luck. That's a better
way
to do
it. If you want to donate to the show, not if we see you first.
Exactly. but hey, you know what? Hopes for reconciliation and detente are kind of dying all around us.
Yeah, it seems like that is dying.
Yeah, the hope for cooperation is it's on its last legs, but...
Is there any silver lining of...
I can think of only one thing.
Is there one thing?
That will brighten our day when everything is looking dark.
What is it?
Rappaport still lives!
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.